You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We're now going to make it into the week that was, and as usual, it's been a pretty jam-packed week, not only on a national front, but also on an international front. So on Monday, we had the Napier floods, where we saw record slips and floods in Napier, with around 47 families having to be evacuated from their homes and staying at an evacuation centre at Kennedy Park. Napier Mayor Kristen Wise says welfare checks with people in the worst affected areas are still being carried out. Ngāti Kahungaungu Representative Horireti says iwi are conducting welfare checks to identify who needs support. 380 property assessments were carried out yesterday, and 67 of these homes were deemed unfit to live. 22 of these homes have been severely damaged, and the Hawke's Bay Civil Defence says all properties will have been evaluated by midday today. The Hawke's Bay District Health Board has warned residents with unfit homes at a risk of illness from mould if the properties are not cleaned and dried properly. The government are putting $100,000 into the Napier Mayoral Relief Disaster Fund to aid in the recovery of the region. I think it's really important that we do care about this region, especially with a real shortage of people also doing fruit picking, with the Bay of Plenty, particularly around the Napier region, needing people to be fruit picking. And if we've got lots of floods and whatever that, it's really going to cause some problems when it comes to our economy and how we really manage that going forward. Now, on Wednesday, the Māori Party requested a recount in two of its electorates. They requested a recount in Tamaki Makaurau and in Te Tai Huauru electorates, despite not disputing the final numbers. President Chi Wilson says the party is concerned voters were refused the right to cast their ballot on the Māori roll and wants to bring attention to widespread issues of discrimination against Māori voters. Wilson says a recount will help clean up the system and ensure everybody was treated the same. He also argues the 5% threshold was unreachable by any Indigenous party and that this should be at least halved in Māori electorate seats. And yesterday, on Thursday, we had a new COVID-19 case with 100,000 workers in the Auckland CBD today having been told to stay at home, as we've covered earlier in the show today. Health officials are working to trace how a woman in her 20s who lives and works in the CBD caught the virus. It's been revealed that the individual visited AUT's campus for 10 minutes on Tuesday, despite previous reports that she had not been on campus since October. So if you have been at the AUT campus, make sure to isolate and go and get tested, especially if you've been at the student hub where they were. Now, the Minister of the COVID-19 Response, Chris Hipkins, says early results from genomic testing shows a possible link to the Defence Force cluster identified last week. Hipkins is advising Auckland residents to take a precautionary approach, and if this is done, he is hopeful a lockdown can be avoided. Based on Ministry Health advice, the library, art gallery and the University of Auckland have been closed and students are doing exams online today. This week we also saw a lot of controversy surrounding Mercy Pictures and their gallery exhibition that they put on, where there have been a number of opponents, as the exhibition featured neo-Nazi flags and symbols of white supremacy, received an apology from one of the exhibition's co-facilitators this week. The exhibition by Mercy Pictures Gallery was closed last week as it came under intense scrutiny by locals and activist group Tamaki Anti-Fascist Action, who say that the display, which did not include context or justification, was deeply hurtful. And if you have not seen images of it, it was an exhibition of a wide range of flags, of many included indigenous flags, neo-Nazi flags, all right next to each other. And they also had a blurb from what I remember, a quite extreme viewed person. May says the apology did not go far enough, and an open letter is circulating calling for an apology by the entire company. Now, I just want to sort of reiterate one of the points that I made before around a case being visiting AUT City Campus. Now, they were only there for 10 minutes, and the Auckland Regional Public Health ARPHS, has made a statement saying that anyone who was at the student hub at the same time is considered a casual contact and is at low risk of catching the virus. They're saying that you do not need to self-isolate, but should instead monitor your health for the next 14 days from Tuesday the 10th of November. And if you are concerned of developing symptoms, you should get tested and isolate. However, you are considered a casual contact. And heading overseas now with the US election. So this week, Joe Biden was named the winner of the 2020 US election, where he's currently president-elect. However, Donald Trump is still refusing to concede and continues to make unproven allegations of widespread vote fraud. A recount has been ordered in Georgia, where the votes in that state will be hand-by-hand counted. Biden has a marginal lead over Trump of just over 14,000 votes out of 5 million votes casted. Trump is behind Biden by tens of thousands of votes in several states, with many believing Trump has no cause to contest the result. Biden is set to be sworn in as president on the 20th of January, which will end Trump's presidency, despite him admitting defeat or not. Now, on Tuesday, Pfizer announced that a vaccine is being tested, and they've found that it is 90% effective. Pfizer and a German partner, BioNTech SE, are the first drug makers to report successful data of a possible COVID-19 vaccine from a large-scale clinical trial. New Zealand's Research, Science and Innovation Minister Megan Woods says the result was encouraging news and that the vaccine could be delivered to New Zealand as early as next year, subject to it passing all clinical trials and being approved by MedSafe. New Zealand is set to purchase 1.5 million vaccines, which is enough for 750,000 people. And on Wednesday, Vanuatu reported its first case of COVID-19. On Wednesday, Vanuatu reported its first official coronavirus case after an infected man flew to Vanuatu from the United States via Sydney and Auckland. The man, who was asymptomatic, had a positive result on the fifth day of routine testing. Prime Minister Bob Lohman said in a press conference that the man has been transferred to an isolation centre and assured that the public of their safety. Lohman says contact tracing is underway and that close contacts will be quarantined. And on Thursday, Australia may prosecute its soldiers over war crimes in Afghanistan. Australia has appointed a special investigator to prosecute their soldiers over war crimes in Afghanistan. There have been at least 55 incidents of alleged laws of armed conflict breaches between 2005 and 2016, including unlawful killing and cruel treatment by elite soldiers. The Australian government is preparing to release a report of its special forces. And on Friday, the UK COVID-19 surge continues, with the UK having reported a new daily figure of 33,470 COVID-19 cases. This is the highest number reported in the country, however, testing capacity has greatly increased. Experts have warned against describing the daily figure as a record, as there was no widespread testing program during the first wave of the epidemic. On Wednesday, the UK became the first country in Europe to surpass 50,000 COVID-19 deaths, and officials have called for the public to continue to follow guidance to stop the spread of the virus. And on Friday, the opposition has announced a mass resignation to challenge the Chinese government's authority. The Chinese government has condemned the mass resignation of most of Hong Kong's opposition in the parliament as a challenge to its authority. Nearly all pro-democracy lawmakers quit in protest after four of their colleagues were deemed threats to national security and dismissed. Many have protested against Hong Kong's limited democracy, and the UK government has accused China of breaching its agreement to protect Hong Kong's autonomy. And finally, it wouldn't be the week that was without a little bit on climate change. And in the climate change news, a new study has been published in Scientific Reports, found that even if human-induced greenhouse gases emissions have been reduced to zero, global temperatures may continue to rise for centuries. But prominent scientists, including Victoria University of Wellington's Head of School of Geography, Environment and Earth Sciences, Professor James Renwick, has contested the findings. Renwick says that the effect of climate action by the global community, in line with New Zealand's Zero Carbon Act and the Paris Agreement, would stop climate change somewhere between 1.5 and 2 degrees of warming above pre-industrial levels. He says the results presented in this paper are very implausible and should not be seen as a cause for alarm. As always, climate change is a huge issue that we've got on our hands. And I do have to say, lately I've been watching a lot of David Attenborough, who has been going over the impacts of climate change. And we do really need to be making sure that we're, each of us, are doing our own little bit to make sure that we're trying to reduce our carbon footprint, reducing our waste, and going forward.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.